This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Friday afternoon, March 22nd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. The addition of surcharges during the pandemic created confusion for some restaurant customers. We'll discuss the current etiquette surrounding tipping in our next segment. But right now, more details are emerging about a proposed Bears Lakefront Stadium. Let's get an update from Justin Lawrence, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Justin, thank you for joining us today. And this is more than just a stadium. This is now a complete reimagining of the museum campus. That's the latest proposal from the Bears as they zero in on their now ancestral home along the shores of Lake Michigan.
You know, they're looking at this new stadium on the lakefront. And as anybody who's been to a Soldier Field game knows, it can be difficult to access the museum campus site. So to make that a little easier and to kind of help support this new stadium, there would be some significant infrastructure costs to the city or state or maybe a federal grant, but certainly taxpayers would have to pay for this. And the infrastructure envisioned would cost over $1 billion, and it would be some kind of heavy road work improvements along Lakeshore Drive to access the museum campus and some other improvements along the campus itself, like a pedestrian bridge over the harbor there. And then Soldier Field itself, you know, it would be not demolished completely, but it would be a lot of the kind of newfangled spaceship that was implanted inside Soldier Field would be removed, and it would be kind of taken down to a much smaller stadium that would serve as sort of a multi-sport use for the public and for Chicago Public Schools.
Now, these discussions about infrastructure and improving the ways people could access Soldier Field on foot from public transportation west of Lakeshore Drive, this suggests the Bears are a lot more serious about the lakefront site compared to Arlington Park, despite the fact that Arlington Heights came back with a revised property tax proposal for the land they already own.
Yeah, I mean, my reporting suggests that the Bears are very much focused on staying in the city right now. That doesn't mean that they'll never speak with Arlington Heights again or keep that option open, right? But team president Kevin Warren, he was brought on last year, and his focus has been to keep the team in the city or to at least explore this option. And they are doing that right now. They're meeting with public officials, city departments to discuss the plans. They met with the Friends of the Parks group yesterday. That's kind of the group that has blocked previous developments on the lakefront, like the George Lucas Star Wars Museum. So they are certainly going through the steps to try to build a lakefront stadium.
We're talking about the latest efforts to build a lakefront stadium for the Bears with Justin Lawrence, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Let's talk about Friends of the Parks for a second, because we do know that they were instrumental in the Lucas Museum pulling up stakes and moving to Los Angeles. But how much engagement did the Lucas Museum people have with Friends of the Parks versus what the Bears are doing now?
You know, that's hard to say. They certainly met with the Lucas Museum folks at the time, and that was during former Mayor Rahm Emanuel's administration. They met with the city then. But they, you know, this meeting yesterday, it's with the Bears and local alderman Lamont Robinson, that was the first kind of official meeting they've had. I don't know if anybody of the group has kind of had a side meeting with the Bears or spoken to them on the phone, but yesterday was kind of the first big official meeting. They both came out of it not really sharing much details about what was discussed, just that they enjoyed getting to know each other and they have hope to chat again soon.
And very quickly, if you wanted to wave a magic wand and make it 2034, is it very likely we would see a Bears stadium on the lakefront and not in Arlington Heights?
Well, very likely might be hard to say, right? I think we are still in the first half of this whole rollout. You know, part of the story yesterday, if they need $1 billion plus in infrastructure improvements, that really raises the kind of political stakes for Mayor Johnson, who's certainly expressed his desire to keep the team in the city, but if it comes at that kind of cost, it becomes more difficult. And they need state approvals for this as well, right? They've offered to put in $2 billion of their own money, but that is not the total cost of the project, and they need state help. So obviously they have to get all that before we're really building a new stadium, but sometimes it seems like this stuff is not going to happen, right? And then it always seems to find a way forward.
Justin Lawrence, reporter, Crane Chicago Business, thank you for joining us today.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Traditionally, most diners expected to leave a percentage of their bill as a tip, but changes prompted by the COVID crisis have turned the waters murky for some restaurant goers. Let's check in with Doug Roth, founder and president, Playground Hospitality in Chicago. Doug, thank you for joining us today. It was about 4 years ago at this time we were told to do our part and help out the restaurant industry by ordering out and getting takeout food to help out those small business owners. But there were a lot of COVID cleaning fees and convenience fees that were added to those bills over time. And Doug, and it sounds like a lot of those fees are still with us.
Well, the fees are still with us, and that obviously is a bone of contention for a lot of us at this point, because, again, as diners, we think, why should we necessarily be paying for something that we feel that the owner of the business should pay for? The other thing that we're seeing that has come out of it is gratuities or tips. How many times now that you go and get carry out and what ultimately happens is they turn the screen around and you see anywhere between 10 and 30% tip. And you're sitting there thinking, what am I necessarily tipping for here?
And how is the restaurant industry responding to what may be tipping fatigue or confusion about fees? I mean, is there kind of a reimagining of the bill underway, or is there at least some discussion about that?
Well, we're using the word tipflation right now is what's going on with that. But actually, I don't hear anything anywhere about the fact that something that did start, as you rightly said, during COVID is going away. I think we have to sort of push back a little bit, especially on business owners, and say, listen, it's okay in certain cases. I mean, if you're getting a cup of coffee, it's a rounding error for the most part when you obviously give a 10% on a $5 or at most $5. But then I think we have to look, if you're going out and spending $100 on a carryout, for, you know, you and a group of people and a party, and you put 20% down, you know, that's pretty hefty for something at this point that was put together by someone and not necessarily given you the knowledge and the service that goes behind that normally in a restaurant.
Obviously, you as the diner are free to tip as much or as little as you want, but what are some things that you should look for on a bill that may imply that maybe the gratuity has been covered to a certain extent?
Well, the restaurants that I'm seeing, that in the Chicagoland area, there are a few that will say specifically a 15 or more in kind, an 18% gratuity is included. And that sometimes is with a party of five or more. But I'm also seeing it now for any size party. It's really prevalent in the South, especially in Florida, that you do have it just naturally included. Here, it's not as quite as prevalent. On a side note, by the way, Midwesterners are most prevalent to tip than anywhere else in the country. So obviously, our Midwestern hospitality is here to stay when it comes to that.
Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality from the generous heart of Middle America, Chicago, Illinois. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, some classic films are making a return to the big screen.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The lineup for this year's edition of Big Screen Classics has been unveiled, bringing some all-time greats to movie theaters. Let's discuss the choices and their prospects for success with Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore in Los Angeles. Paul, thank you for joining us today. Now, this is something that's been around for a while. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, right before COVID, going to see Lawrence of Arabia as part of the Turner Classic Movies series. Every month it's a new classic movie. There's a little preamble from Ben Mankiewicz, and it was a lot of fun. It's great to see these movies as they were intended to be seen. But is there a little bit of kind of filling the gap, the production gap left by the strike involved in bringing some of these classic films back to the theater?
You know, that could be part of it, Rob. I mean, to get people back in the theater, concerts, operas, all kinds of events, cinema, you know, it's all these offerings are made even better by being on, you know, by being presented on that big screen. And there are so many quote unquote anniversary releases of films like Gone with the Wind, 85th anniversary on April 7th, Steel Magnolia's 35th anniversary. I mean, I could go on and on. Obviously, Blazing Saddles in September, 50th anniversary of that film. It just, the list goes on. And to be able to see these films, you know, as you said, as intended on the big screen, for many people, this may be the first time they see some of these films on the big screen. And I remember going to see, and you, as you said, Rob, people have been doing this for years. I remember seeing a Creature from the Black Lagoon in midnight screenings, you know, 40 years ago. So it's nothing new, but it's still great to have so many of them being released in 2024.
When you look at the market research about who is going to the movie theater, especially now, is it a crowd that's getting older? As in, you don't have as many younger people coming into the movie-going audience compared to those who are in their 30s or 40s or 50s and beyond. Does that explain why bringing the classics back makes business sense? Does that explain why we're rebooting Beetlejuice and bringing the Ghostbusters back? Because that's the group that goes to the movies.
Well, that's true. Nostalgia is big. And if you get older moviegoers wanting to go back, or more mature, as I like to call them, moviegoers going back to theaters, that is a big part of it. But we're also seeing in our Comscore data, you're getting younger people going back as well for something like the Taylor Swift concert, Five Nights at Freddy's. A lot of horror movies draw a younger crowd. So I think the movie theater experience is, you know, it has appeal to all age groups, but certainly you're right. Some of these films are so old, but it's great to have not only the more mature audiences going to theaters, but younger people who may have never seen a movie like, let's say, Blazing Saddles or Rear Window or North by Northwest, which are all being re-released this year on that big screen. And it's really impactful to see those films as they were intended in a movie theater on a big screen in a crowded room full of excited moviegoers.
Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore in L.A. Thank you for joining us today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Northwestern basketball fans come together in Evanston to follow the team's opening game of March Madness. We'll check in live with our Brandon Eisen. It's Entrepreneur Friday. A popular Chicago chef opens a new location featuring Cajun and Creole flavors. It's been a painful couple of weeks at the gas pump. We'll look at the reasons behind the rapid rise in gas prices. Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 184 points. The NASDAQ is up 47. The S&P 500 is up just a fraction. We have 36 degrees right now in Chicago at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, Northwestern it's the second half of their opening game of the NCAA tournament, and that's brought out fans to Bat 17 in Evanston for a collective experience. And right there in the middle of it, experiencing the highs and the lows, is our own brand.
Not a lot of highs and lows. It's been kind of a mild game today. The score right now, Wildcats 28, Florida Atlantic 25. Wildcats headed into the second half with a 1-point deficit. Not quite standing room only here, but it's a pretty big bar with lots of seating. And to have their team in NCAA tournament play, it's an excitement so great for the Northwestern community that it's even had PhD graduate student Evan here at Bat 17 in downtown Evanston with beer in hand since tip-off.
It's exciting. I've only been in Northwestern in Evanston for a few years, but apparently they don't get into the tournament often, I hear. So it seems pretty historical, so I'm glad I can be in town for that while they're in March Madness.
What do you think the odds are of them winning?
Not great. I mean, they're struggling right now to score, but it's still exciting to watch.
Northwestern does seem to have a little pep in its step as the second half winds down. We will soon have the final score in this matchup. If the Wildcats win this game against Florida Atlantic, they'll face 2023 champs, UConn, or whoever happens to knock them out of the bracket. Many here telling us that they are hoping to witness today what they would consider a miracle. Live at Bat 17 in Evanston, Brandon Eisen, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. The markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 184 points. The NASDAQ is up 50. And the S&P 500 is down just a fraction. Some of the business stories making headlines at this hour. The House has approved a $1.2 trillion spending package that sets the stage for avoiding a partial government shutdown for several key federal agencies tonight. That bill now goes to the Senate. The bill comes nearly 6 months into the current budget year and would allow Congress to complete its work in funding the government through September. The price of oil right now is trading for $80.52 a share, and that's rather lofty territory for the first time in a long time, and drivers are certainly noticing that at the gas pump. Let's explain what's happening in the oil market with Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at the Price Group in Chicago. Phil, thank you for joining us today. And what's been driving up the price of oil? Is it simply the turmoil in the Middle East, or is something else going on?
No, I think the turmoil in the Middle East is part of it. But, you know, the other thing is that there were a lot of false narratives surrounding the gasoline market. You know, everybody was telling us that gasoline demand was going to be terrible in the future. We're all going to be buying electric cars. But all of a sudden, every major reporting agency in the world is starting to realize that the demand for gasoline is exceeding expectations, and it's very strong. Here in the U.S., we had, you know, the big refinery outage in Whiting, Indiana. That set us back. You have seasonal factors, a switch over to the summer blends of gasoline. It makes it more expensive. But the icing on the cake is if you look at global inventories of oil, gasoline, and diesel, they're below average everywhere you look. And that's going to keep this a very explosive summer driving season.
It seems like, Phil, there was a you could almost get kind of cocky about gasoline inventory because there were various points over the last 2 years that there was a slow pickup in the return. return to office, so you still had light traffic on Mondays and Fridays. And then there was the belief that China was still closed down, so that was artificially deflating gasoline demand. Are all those things coming back just now on a delayed basis?
They absolutely are. And you know, there was this kind of false perception that what we saw during COVID was going to last forever, that we would never see oil demand exceed, the old highs that we saw before COVID, that, people would change their habits, we'd not go to the office, they wouldn't drive anymore. But we're finding out that that was wishful thinking. The reality is that if you look at gasoline demand, it's soaring back. It's going to exceed pre-COVID levels. We're going to see oil demand hit an all-time record high around the globe in May. So, the depth of oil demand was greatly exaggerated, and now it's a wake-up call, and it's a wake-up call that people are going to be paying for when they fill up at the pump.
And then, Phil, what is the kind of current state of play in the international oil market? Of course, the U.S. Setting records for oil production. OPEC has been trying to take the wind out of our sails successfully, unsuccessfully. And then what about that Russian oil? Is that still subject to sanctions?
It is, but this is the problem. Right now, part of the problem in the global market is Ukraine keeps attacking Russian refineries. That's taking supplies of diesel off the market and is putting further upward pressure. In fact, things are so bad that the Biden administration is asking Ukraine to stop attacking Russian refineries because it's going to make gasoline and diesel prices go up ahead of the election. And the Ukraine's saying right now, nope, that's a legitimate target. We're going to continue to attack it. So there's so many factors going on right now, and it definitely isn't helping right now. The geopolitical tensions are definitely adding to the cost at the pump as well.
Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst with the Price Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this segment may prompt you to jump in your car, head to the South Side. Welcome in Eric Williams, chef and owner of Virtue Hospitality Group, the restaurateur behind Daisy's Po' Boy and Tavern, 52nd and Harper in Hyde Park. Eric, thank you for joining us today. And of course, a Po' Boy restaurant, the flavors of New Orleans are certainly on display there. And how did you fall in love with Cajun cooking and Cajun cuisine?
Well, I have an uncle who was born in New Orleans, and he was the first male in my family to teach me how to cook anything, and the thing that he taught me how to cook was gumbo,
and that was the beginning of your culinary journey. And the name Daisy's actually is a tribute to your family.
Yes, it's a tribute to my late aunt Daisy, and it's really a joy to have a place where I can honor both the representation of Louisiana cooking and also a near and dear family member.
Now, how does there's Louisiana cooking, like actually from Louisiana, and how does your interpretation? Is there any key differences between what you do and what you could find if you go down to Louisiana and have an authentic Po' Boy sandwich?
Well, I mean, I'm a chef. At the end of the day, I very rarely do anything exactly the way that you would see it somewhere else. It's always got my DNA. It's always got my take. But what we do is a beautiful homage to the style and the flair of New Orleans. And it's a fun place. The moment you walk in, you know it's inspired by the Big Easy. And it's one of the things that makes our group unique and one of the things that makes the place so great.
And what is it about the Cajun cooking in Chicago? Is it just simply because so many people, got on that namesake train made famous by Steve Goodman, the city of New Orleans, to travel north to Chicago to chase a dream and start a new life here?
Well, that definitely isn't it. I think the great migration has had a lot to do with the fact that you have a lot of Black people that came up from the South through many avenues to make their way to Chicago. And then when we had Katrina, we doubled down on the amount of people that migrated to Chicago. And outside of the people that migrated to the space, Nolan's cooking is just damn good cooking.
Yeah, it kind of does sell itself.
Yes, it does.
And then what do you got, not only that, you know, this is just the cooking itself and the restaurant that's a tribute to your family, but this is a prime time for restaurants and bars. Of course, we had a live remote from Evanston for all the Northwestern fans watching the NCAA tournament. And can they go down to your place, Daisy's Po' Boy, and watch the games all the way through the championship a month from now?
Absolutely. So we're actually going to open up. We're used to not open up on Mondays, and we're going to be open up for the Final Four game, for the biggest game, the finals game. And starting April 6th, we'll be celebrating with many of our menu items, specials like our hot honey sliders, blackened chicken sandwich, muffalata, our cheeseburger, and a lot of the things that we do for happy hour. Actually, I misstated. March 28th, we're going to start that. And we're going to run through and have our happy hour taking place all day.
Now, you have a number of locations throughout the Chicago area. And have you learned different lessons from opening different places about not only about yourself, but about the business?
I mean, we're learning every day. And I say we generically, the entire team. The restaurant business is a tough business. But I would be remiss if I didn't say that we're better each day because of the community that supports us. Chicago's a great place to have a restaurant, and it's an even better place because of the community folk that come out and support these restaurants day after day, night after night.
Eric Williams, chef and owner of Virtue Hospitality Group, the restaurateur behind Daisy's Po' Boy and Tavern, 52nd and Harper in the Hyde Park neighborhood. Still to come, a look at what's driving financial markets.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And the markets are indeed mixed today. Let's welcome in Gary Kultbaum, President Kultbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Gary, thank you for joining us today. Find him online at GaryK.com, and I'm sure you enjoyed listening to the snowfall totals in the weather forecast from the city beautiful in Central Florida.
Oh, the snow was just piling on here in Orlando, Florida. What can I tell you?
So it sounds like investors are taking their breath on this Friday.
Actually, they are and aren't, because the big artificial intelligence semiconductor stocks are having a pretty decent day today, while the Dow and the financials and retail and some other areas are pulling back. It's just as normal can be after one heck of a Jay Powell jam, which started around 2:30 p.m. with his press conference on Wednesday.
Now, traditionally, Gary, I think you have viewed the statements from the Federal Reserve with a rather jaundiced eye. What was your take on the Jay Powell statement this week?
Well, nothing personal. I just believe in the free markets and not somebody pushing buttons to print money. That's all. They can affect markets in the short run, but I loathe the fact they think they're the economy. The economy is 150 million of us waking up every morning wanting to do better for ourselves and our family by growing our business and getting smarter and more educated, versus them just pushing buttons and moving interest rates up a quarter point. That's my big issue. And the good news is markets are acting just fine, just well. I think any pullback is most wanted because there's a little bit of froth right now and a little bit too much complacency by all my sentiment numbers. But I got to tell you, so far, so good. And we don't really question driving force behind the market. We're just happy that markets are going higher.
What kind of lesson is the bond market telling us right now? The 10-year yield at 4.2% and some change, up from the high threes territory we saw to start the year. But what are investors telling us?
What I love the most is it's quiet. Just remember, for a long while when the Fed was interfering so much, it was going crazy to the upside and downside and driving everybody up a wall. It's quieted down. That's the way bond markets used to be and should be, and I hope it stays that way. Some say, wait a minute, we were at 0%, now at 4.2. 4.2 on the 10-year is just a normalization of Jay Powell no longer printing money, and it's a nice little number, and I hope it stays in and around here or comes down a little bit. I will start worrying if it starts breaking above 5 again or above Jay Powell's Fed funds rate of 5.5. That'll tell you that they're missing out on something, whether it's inflation or the massive debt is another story.
Gary Culpom, President Culpom Capital Management in Orlando. Thank you for joining us today. Find him online at GaryK.com. If you missed any part of today's show, just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.